Mississippi, nah, Mississippi, ten, Mississippi, you treat me wrong. So by the time you get to ten, Mississippi, I'm gonna be long gone.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Today we're talking about planning these vacations, looking at destinations, and really trying to sort out, well, where do I really want to go, and planning out for summer, for spring, for fall, for winter, really for the whole year, just getting some ideas of places to go. Now, Olivia, we've talked a little bit about going local. We just talked about the Dillard House, and we said we can just go there year-round a couple of times. It doesn't have to just be summer, spring, or fall. We could go anytime, several times during the year. But, you know, if we want to go a little bit further and we want to stay focused on our quarters, what are some places that you found when we look at our quarters and do our quarter mile segment here? What states did you think about for great places to travel and maybe spring, summer, or fall for them as well? You can travel year-round.
Right. If you're still not sure where to go at this point, look, dig deep in your pockets. You might find an idea.
A little inspiration.
Yes. And today we're going to talk about Alabama first. Alabama State Quarter actually has a birthday coming up. It was released on March 17th of 2003, engraved by Norman E. Nemeth. And it depicts a seated Helen Keller in longleaf pine branches, which are Alabama State tree, and also magnolia blossoms. And the banner on the quarter says, "Spirit of Courage." It also has a caption that says Helen Keller, which is written in standard print and in Braille.
Oh, wow. That's really fascinating. So what is the Helen Keller connection to Alabama?
Well, Helen Keller was born in West Tuscumbia, Alabama on June 27, 1880. Mm-hmm. She was an author, political activist, and lecturer who advocated for disabled people, women, and workers. And she was also the first deaf and blind person to receive a Bachelor of Arts degree.
She was the first.
Yes.
That is amazing. That's really amazing. And that's how that spirit of courage must really tie in with talking about her life.
Yes. They often refer to Helen Keller as the first Lady of Courage.
Absolutely. She definitely was. I mean, all the things that she accomplished while she was blind. I mean, it's just amazing. So any other things about her?
Yes. Helen's teacher, Ann Sullivan, was hired by her parents when Helen was 7 years old. And together, Helen and Ann kind of developed a form of communication that was suited to Helen's own interests. So Ann would pay attention to what Helen would seek out, whether it was water or different fabrics, and she took to spelling out those words on Helen's palm. Within 6 months of doing that, Helen had learned 575 words.
Wow.
She also learned some multiplication and part of the Braille system.
Amazing.
And what's most amazing about their relationship is that they continue to be companions for nearly 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just think about that connection with her teaching her how to read and write and really how to see the world without being able to hear or see. It was just amazing that, you know, that connection, I'm sure that
right.
It's just that bond that was there.
It really highlights the power of language, mm-hmm. You know, for Helen to be able to have this language for her to express herself. And she used it to become a great, you know, advocate.
Mm-hmm. The spirit of courage.
Yes.
The first woman of courage. Now, can we go and see if we're going to Alabama and traveling there on vacation? Are there any places that we can go and see something that relates to Helen Keller?
Yes. Helen's birthplace in West Tuscumbia is called Ivy Green, mm-hmm. and it's a museum now. And they also commemorate Helen Keller Day on her birthday in June, so that might be a time to go visit. And the museum is located on 640 acres where visitors will find a memorial fountain, an herb garden, and the separate cottage where Helen and Anne lived together as they developed, you know, that form of communication.
Well, that sounds like a fantastic idea to go and to go during the time, as you mentioned, you know, when they are celebrating her birthday. Now, travelers, though, who are going there, is this something that they can maybe do in one day, or is it something that you gather, whether or not it's something that really takes you a full day, or should we plan for a couple of days to be in that area?
Yeah, I think you can definitely see the big sights in one day, but, you know, during the week leading up to Helen Keller's birthday, they have a whole week of celebrations that you probably won't want to miss, you know, if you're a big fan of Helen Keller, like I am.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and during that week, they have performances of The Miracle Worker, which is a play by William Gibson, and it tells the story of Anne and Helen's breakthrough of developing this form of communication, because it wasn't easy to get there.
I bet. I'm sure it just took a lot of patience as well on both of their parts.
Exactly.
But now, a little bit more, though, about the Ivy Green grounds. Do you find any of the state flowers or trees or anything there?
Yes, you can see the longleaf pines, the magnolia blossoms. They're covered, the whole grounds are covered in lots of beautiful roses, honeysuckle, and English ivy, which is why it's called the Ivy House.
Mm-hmm.
So it will absolutely be beautiful in June.
Well, yes, it would be, definitely, definitely. So, okay, so Alabama, a great state. I mean, there's so much going on there. I mean, you can also go there for so many other things to see and do. And it's not that far from us. I mean, it's one of those states that's really close by for us. It's right next door. So they also have beaches there. I mean, there's so much to see and do in Alabama. So definitely I would say check out Alabama for a destination that as you're planning, you know, the summer, winter, fall, all the vacations that you're looking at for the year. But now we have time to do another state.
Yes, let's go right next door to Mississippi.
Okay. Right next door to Mississippi.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you have for Mississippi?
So the Mississippi State Quarter is released on October 15, 2002, engraved by Donna Weaver, and it depicts two magnolia blossoms.
Well, magnolias are very popular.
The
it's the southern flower.
Yes. And there's actually an interesting story to how the magnolia, how Mississippi became known as Magnolia State. So in 1900, Mississippi school children voted for a state flower. So they went to the children to see what they wanted their state flower to be, and they chose magnolia over jasmine as well. So it's very popular with the Mississippi school children. And what I thought was funny is they did another kind of survey or an election, really, for a state tree in 1935 when these school children were grown up.
Okay.
You know, so this is probably them voting again for the magnolia tree.
Okay. So they came back from the flower
yes.
and said, okay, we also want the tree to be recognized as our tree, not just only the flower.
Yes.
And because the tree does have flowers.
Right. And it was officially adopted as the state tree and state flower in 1952, opposed by only one vote. So it must have been one jasmine fan out there who just
holding out,
would
hoping.
Not back down. So whenever I see a state quarter that has, you know, plants and flowers, I say it's a good opportunity to go explore the wilderness out there.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you on that.
Yeah. So if you don't know what to do when you see a quarter of flowers on it, just
think of the wilderness.
Yes. Think of the wilderness.
Obviously, that's a big part of the state.
Right. And so there are some outdoor things you can do in Mississippi. One cool thing I saw was you could visit the Windsor Ruins in Port Gibson. So around the mid-1800s, there was a giant four-story Greek Revival mansion built out there. Surrounded by forest, and it was destroyed in a fire in 1890, and so now all that stands are very tall Greek columns that are slowly being surrounded by nature once again. So it's an interesting, you know,
interesting
contradiction.
Kind of look, yeah.
Yeah.
I would think that would be interesting. Just
great
to
photo
kind of
op.
Yeah.
Right. And there's also a lot of beautiful wildlife areas as well. You can check them all out along the 444-mile Natchez Trace Parkway, which there's lots of it in Mississippi. And much of the original trail was used by Native Americans and Mississippi settlers, and there are lots of things you can check out along the way. So you can have fun at the Ross Barnett Reservoir, do a lot of water sports, and there's also some archaeological sites there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then on your way to the Tennessee state line, there are lots of places for short walks off the path of the parkway, prehistoric mound sites, old Civil War battlefields. And finally, there's a really neat cypress swamp.
That sounds interesting.
Yes, you can see lots of different wildlife there. Just another great photo opportunity. They have a lot of like bridged walkways through the swamp, so you can get really close up with nature there.
A lot of nature, a lot of plants as well, I would think as well, not only wildlife.
Yes, and you talked about how Alabama has beaches, and Mississippi has a cool coast as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take in the beaches of West Ship Island, where you can fish and swim, and there's also another old fort there called Fort Massachusetts, which was built following the War of 1812. So it's been around.
It definitely has been around. I mean, there's a ton to do in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you focus it on the outdoor things to do, because I don't really necessarily think of Mississippi when I think of going on a hiking trip.
Right. I mean, when I looked up the Natchez Trace Parkway, there's this gorgeous bridge that goes over a valley.
Oh, wow. I might be a little shy to do it, but I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you guys have gotten quite a few ideas for your summer, spring, winter, and fall vacations for this year. If not, check us out on our website, travelbagswithanita.com, and we'll try to keep convincing you. This has been Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back soon.